In your bulletins is a new song that we're going to learn during this time, and we'll use it later during the offering time. Sing praises to God, O His faithful. Cantad al Señor, O sus santos. We're going to sing it in English as it's written here, and then in Spanish.
Welcome to worship this beautiful Sunday morning. And though sleep calls and the worries of the week and world continue to be made known, we are here in this place. We rebel against stress and the everyday monotony, and we come to this place of worship. We rebel against the world, and we remember the one that we follow, who lives and loves in community. We welcome you here this morning. To begin our worship as well, we will sing from the blue hymnal number 69.
Thank you.
Dormant faith is too much to bear, especially in a world where those who bully always seem to win, in a world full of strife and pain. Imbalance the enemy with love. Shame the oppressor and their oppressive laws. Turn your other cheek to the master to be accounted as an equal. But this rebellious faith is just too much to bear in a world whose bullies are loved back to justice by being bullied. How can this be? However, this is heaven's revolution, and we are called into it. Rebel and heap those coals. Come and let us worship love's rebel, Jesus. We will be singing our next song from Sing the Journey, the Green Book, number 19.
Please turn in the blue hymnal to number 493.
Thank you.
My seminary studies, something that has helped me to connect more closely and fully with the scriptures is Midrash. Midrash is a piece of Jewish exegesis where, in response to a certain scripture passage, authors and actors and poets will create a work of their own art and either act it out, respond with a poem, or tell a story. And so here, this verse from Psalm 26 and my own personal midrash for it. Lord, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory dwells. Do not take my soul along with sinners, my life with those who are bloodthirsty, in whose hands are wicked schemes and in whose right hands are full of bribes. I lead a blameless life. Deliver me and be merciful to me. My feet stand on solid ground, and in the great congregation I will praise the Lord. Lord, I am most pleased with myself, with the way that I choose to live. Many have seen the good deeds that I do, and I hope have been inspired to act accordingly. My purchases are done so responsibly, and I support those in my community. Right belief is important to me, and I correct those who are wrong, peacefully. Do not hold me to the same level of disdain as those who are proud and haughty, for I would not be caught dead doing what they do, though I would never judge. My humility is off the charts, and even when I am complicit to systems that favor me, I am humble. You know me, God. You know my heart, my actions, my deeds. I am blameless. Do not look at me the way I look at them. Keep me grounded, O God, and I will praise you. We confess that sometimes we screw up and we rely too much on your grace, O God. But sisters and brothers, hear these words of assurance, and please stand if you, in body or in spirit, and receive these words. Sisters and brothers, God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, sees us and shows us grace and gives us peace. Have peace in your hearts today. Let us share this grace and peace with each other and the world, and begin here by saying, "The peace of Christ be with you," and responding, if there are any birthdays this morning or anniversaries or any other special dates that we would like recognized and that you would like to bring forward to the congregation, please come forward to the front and receive a blessing from Brent. Oh, for the month of September. It's a new month.
Any special events we're marking today? A birthday or baptism? Or
I'm actually standing in Jesse's place. On the 5th, he will have his 29th birthday.
We remember Jesse. Yeah.
My birthday is this month, and it's not necessarily a special birthday. But I mean, it is, but... I'm going to take this moment to say that I'm having a birthday bike ride and I want people to come. So I will make an announcement later.
And why are we up here today?
My baby's only 7 months, but I'm turning 30 this month.
Okay. Let's raise our hands in blessing on these people. Thank you, God, for these lives. Thank you for each day that you have given them. The difficult ones, the ones of joy and celebration, we ask that you would continue to make yourself known to them in each of these days that you give them, that they might be a blessing even as they are blessed, that they can weep with those who are weeping and rejoice with those who are rejoicing each day as they meet others whom you love. Make them ambassadors of that love. We bless them and we give their lives to you. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Listening, you'll hear people talk about peace. You'll maybe hear people talk about enemies. So I have a story here today that I would like to read for you from a book that has a lot of peace stories in it, because sometimes it's hard to do the right thing, and hearing a story of people who had to choose the right thing when it was really hard can sometimes be helpful. But first of all, I got to tell you a couple things about this story. It takes place in Kansas. Do you know what state you live in? What state? What state? But ours, Indiana. Yes. And Kansas is a different state. And I'm just curious because I think a lot of people in our church have connections to Kansas. So why don't you look around and see everyone who has lived in Kansas, hold up your hand. Yeah, so we have some Kansas connections here. And I have another question for the congregation. This story is about a kid who attended school in a one-room schoolhouse, which meant there weren't a lot of people in the town, and people live far apart in the country. And when you got all the kids together, there were just enough kids for one class. And the teacher had to teach all the kids of different ages. And I'm just curious, is there anybody here who went to a one-room schoolhouse? Stan, Ellen, Lois, Al, John, oh my goodness, Simon, Brent, whoa, and over there, wait, is that Ed? Can't see over there. And there's Mildred. Oh my goodness gracious. So these people have some very interesting stories about going to school with everybody in one room. The other thing about this one-room schoolhouse was that when it got really cold in Kansas, the way they heated the room was they had what was called a pot-bellied stove. So it was a big, fat, I'm guessing iron stove, and they put wood in it, and it would get really hot and warm up the whole room. But to do that, it got really hot. So this is supposedly a true story. I think it's a little bit silly, but you can tell me what you think. It's about a man named E.G. Kaufman, and his name really was Ed. When Ed Kaufman was a boy, he went to a little country school in Kansas. And on the playground and in the classroom, there were children whose parents had come originally from Switzerland, another country, and children whose parents had come from Russia. And then there were children whose parents and grandparents had lived in Kansas for a really long time. So kids from different countries and kids whose families had been there a long time. And sometimes these kids got along really well, and other times they didn't. The native Kansas people teased the Swiss, and the Swiss teased the Low Germans from Russia, and the Low Germans teased both the Kansas people and the Swiss. Well, most of the time it was kind of for fun, but every now and then feelings were really hurt. Now there was a boy called Peter, and he was always jumping on Ed. And he would wrestle Ed down to the ground whenever he could. And since he was bigger and stronger, Ed didn't have a chance. So when they were on the playground, Pete would take advantage and tackle Ed every time. How do you think Ed felt about that? Good? Bad? Bad. Yeah, yeah. That was no fun to have a big kid who's always bigger than you and you never stood a chance. Well, one time in the winter, the wind was blowing up a blizzard and it was very cold. And Ed saw Pete coming into the schoolhouse, slapping his hands and rubbing his cheeks because he was so cold. And well, big Pete elbowed his way right up to that pot-belly stove and scooted up really close, warming his hands, warming his feet, and then he turned around and warmed his backside. Well, he got very close to the stove, and it was very hot, and Ed was watching him, and suddenly it seemed to Ed that there was a little bit of smoke coming from the seat of Pete's pants. Ed thought, ha, ha, serves him right. And Ed watched and watched, and the smoke got larger. And how long would it take for Pete's pants to catch on fire? And Ed was laughing inside, like, whoa, ho, ho, this is going to be fun. He knew he should warn Pete, but he sure didn't want to. Pete had been so mean to him. He was his enemy. He was an enemy. But he had heard stories that people of peace should love their enemies and be good to them. And that came into Ed's mind, and it bothered him. And it was a lot of fun watching the smoke coming from Pete's pants. So unconcerned, Pete didn't know it. Ed waited, but suddenly Pete smelled smoke. Hey, my pants are burning. And he started patting and trying to put it out. Well, Ed had been watching, and he knew exactly what to do. He rushed in, and together the two of them put out the smoldering, smoky pants. Thanks, pal, said Pete. Kind words said to Ed. And the story goes on to say that years later, when the two boys were grown up, they met again. And Ed asked, do you remember when the seat of your pants burned? I sure do, said Pete. And I remember how you helped me. So it ended up being a fun story that they remembered together. Do you think that really happened?
No.
It's kind of strange, but it's in this book that's supposed to be true stories. And this is an archived story that people collected. But anyway, it just means that we look for opportunities, even when we're mad at somebody or angry, to still be ready to be kind and help. We didn't pass the basket. Oh my goodness, let's pass the basket around. And let me also tell you, when offering time comes this Sunday, I've got cans up here, and you can help take offering for the MCC relief sale. So when the offering comes, we'll call you up here and you come grab a can and you can gather extra money from the grown-ups this time because we want to gather a lot of money for this special project. I see lots of coins going into the basket, which is wonderful, and blessings for this sale. Let's pray. Let's fold our hands, bow our heads. Lord, help us to be friends when it's hard. Help our families to be friends in the neighborhood. Help our teachers who teach that our city and our streets will be places of peace. In Jesus' name, amen. And all the kids said, amen. Amen.
Today, the scripture reading comes from Romans 19, 9 to 21.
Hoy estamos leyendo de la carta a los Romanos, capítulo 12.
Romans 12?
Yeah, what'd you say?
Oh, I'm not sure. We're reading from Romans, though. Sorry. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor.
Nuestro amor debe ser sincero. Aborrezcamos lo malo y sigamos lo bueno. Amémonos unos a otros con amor fraternal. Respetemos y mostremos deferencia hacia los demás.
Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers.
Si algo demanda diligencia, no seamos perezosos. Sirvamos al Señor con espíritu ferviente. Gocémonos en la esperanza. Soportemos el sufrimiento. Seamos constantes en la oración. Ayudemos a los hermanos necesitados. Practiquemos la hospitalidad.
Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly, and do not claim to be wiser than you are.
Bendigamos a los que nos persiguen. Bendigamos y no maldigamos. Gocémonos con los que se gozan y lloremos con los que lloran. Vivamos como si fuéramos solo uno. No seamos altivos, sino juntémonos con los humildes. No debemos creernos más sabios que los demás.
Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord.
No paguemos a nadie mal por mal. Procuremos hacer lo bueno a los ojos de todo el mundo. Si es posible, en cuanto depende de nosotros, vivamos en paz con todos. No busquemos vengarnos, amados míos. Mejor dejemos que actúe la ira de Dios, porque está escrito, mía es la venganza, yo pagaré, dice el Señor.
No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Por lo tanto, si nuestro enemigo tiene hambre, démosle de comer. Si tiene sed, démosle de beber. Si así lo hacemos, haremos que éste se avergüence de su conducta. No permitamos que nos vence el mal. Es mejor vencer al mal con el bien.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Palabra del Señor.
Gracias a Dios.
This morning we'll be hearing from Pastor Nelson. And would you please pray with me? God, thank you for our brother, your servant, Nelson. We give praise for the words that you have laid on his heart. And we ask for open ears and hearts to hear these words that you have assisted in preparing. Amen. Thank you.
This week I heard an interview on National Public Radio with Christian Picciolini, a man who as a teenager was the leader of a white supremacist organization called Chicago Area Skinheads. At age 22, Picciolini left that racist group and went on to be co-founder of a project called Life After Hate, which gives support to people who want to leave such hate groups. Hate groups are on the rise in this country, or at least they are becoming more visible. And rhetoric in Washington, D.C. both reflects the rise of hate groups and sometimes adds to it. The response of some political leaders to recent racist violence has been unhelpful and at times immoral. The National Public Radio host asked Picciolini why he had joined a hate group as a teenager, especially since he was son of Italian immigrants at a time when there still was considerable prejudice against Italians. Picciolini replied that he was, in his words, a lost and lonely teenager when he was recruited by the white nationalist group. He said his parents both worked 7 days a week, often 14 hours a day, and he felt abandoned. He said, "I think ultimately people become extremists, not necessarily because of ideology, that is because of what the group believes. People become radicalized or extremist because they're searching for three fundamental human needs: identity, community, and a sense of purpose. Identity, community, and a sense of purpose." Young people, he said, are most vulnerable to being recruited into extremist groups if underneath that search, quote, "is something that's broken? Is there abuse or trauma or mental illness or addiction? In my case," he said, "it was abandonment. I felt abandoned by my family, and that led me to this racist community." His real problem, Picciolini said, was that he hated himself and tried to deal with that by projecting hatred on others. He was looking for someone to save him. The first half of the book of Romans speaks of the spiritual condition of humanity. We are sinners who only can be saved from spiritual death by the gracious act of God. We cannot save ourselves by performing 100% on rules or laws. We cannot be saved by being heroic or pulling up our own bootstraps. We are saved from sin and death only by acknowledging our need of a creator, dying to ourselves, opening to the work of the Holy Spirit, and believing that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. We are forgiven by God. Our lives turn around. This is a lifelong process, not a one-time event. The Apostle Paul at times speaks of us being saved. It's not just when I was saved years ago. I am being saved. We are being saved. And when that happens, and as that happens, we are incorporated into a healing and a loving community. When we are saved, we receive what those young people going into hate groups desire, and we find what all of us need, that is an identity, a community, and purpose. So instead of being conformed to the individualism and racism and nationalism and greed of our world, we give our whole selves as living sacrifice to God. And we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, Paul says at the beginning of Romans 12. Our intellect, our way of thinking and approaching the world changes. And then the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, and we become part of the body of Christ. That as we enter into fellowship and worship and service with a community of people who know Jesus. And our scripture passage today describes what that community looks like. It's a place where we love one another with mutual affection, where we outdo one another in showing honor. This means we don't just hang out with people we like. We honor everybody in the church because they are part of the body of Christ. This is our family. In this community, Paul says, we rejoice with those who rejoice. We weep with those who weep. That's what happens here on Sunday mornings during our sharing time, or what happens in small groups, or with the prayer stream, or with a prayer partner. We bear one another's burdens. We share each other's joys. Paul describes this as a community whose members live with humility, where we fellowship even with people who society might say are not our type. We fellowship and love, we fellowship with and love these people. And we know that Christ was willing to die for us and for everybody in the church community. 10 days ago, I had lunch here at church with Mulanda Juma, who is a Mennonite leader from Eastern Congo. Mulanda is survivor of a civil war in that country that's devastated the eastern part of Congo. He told me that 1,000 people have died in his hometown. This isn't a big city. So the slaughter is enormous. I asked him what percentage of the people on both sides who did the killing are Christian, are part of the Christian church. He said, most of them are on both sides. And of course, the same would have been true in the American Civil War or in the great European wars of the 20th century. It was Christians on both sides. Gott mit uns, God with us, is what the Belts said in the German army, and the American and British people had the same theology. We have to acknowledge that racism and tribalism and class prejudice warp the Christian church and sometimes infiltrate our own souls. But there is something wrong with this picture of Christians killing, of Christians hating, or of Christians placing tribe and nation above loyalty to Jesus. Paul describes Christian community in Romans 12 as a new society in which members do not repay anyone evil for evil, where, so far as it depends on us, we live peaceably with all. Paul says, do not avenge yourselves. That is, don't try to get even with others. We even feed our enemies, and we overcome evil with good. How the world needs this kind of peacemaker today. At a time when North Korea, apparently just today, in the last 24 hours, has deployed and exploded a hydrogen bomb that they say they can put into a missile, dramatically increasing tension in that part of the world. At a time like this, we need peacemakers. At a time when there is violence in the streets of Elkhart, when open racism is visible in this country, at a time when minority groups live in fear, in this week when President Trump will announce the fate of DACA youth, that is this program for immigrant children who came here without documents, whose parents brought them here when they were small, and now they are often college age, a program for those young people to stay in the country, a program that our government began several years ago. Now, there's a real risk this week that that will be taken away. It's a time when we need peacemakers. With all these signs of tension and alienation, how the world needs the way of Jesus. And the most powerful evidence of God's Spirit moving among us will be the creation of a new society, the church local and the church global, a community of those who live this hard way of Jesus, who seek to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to see overcome evil with good. In a speech 60 years ago, Dr. Martin Luther King said, "Love builds up and unites. Hate tears down and destroys." And King rejected the idea that in some situations you just have to use violence. You know, all other options are gone. He rejected that idea. No, we always live and act with love. He said that the aftermath of the fight fire with fire method is bitterness and chaos, but the aftermath of the love method is reconciliation and the creation of beloved community. Words that King used often to describe what the church would become, the people of God, a beloved community. He said physical force can repress, physical force can restrain, it can coerce and destroy, but it cannot create and organize anything permanent. Only love can do that. Yes, he said love, which means understanding, creative, redemptive goodwill, even for our enemies. This is an overflowing love which seeks nothing in return. It is the love of God working in the lives of men and women. This is the love that may well be the salvation of our civilization. End quote. The most important vocation, the most important task for this congregation is to be that loving, that beloved community in the midst of a city of a lot of brokenness. There are lonely and hurting and at times frightened people in this neighborhood. We can't fix all the problems of the world. It is God who saves the world. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, we become a sign of divine hope, a kind of way marker that points others to hope and to Jesus. We become a beacon. We become a laboratory of love. We become a test plot of new life. So people from this congregation teach ESL. People here welcome immigrants, give generously to the Mutual Aid Fund, pack MCC relief kits, teach in the public schools, serve in hospice and hospitals, attend city council meetings, People here in this congregation make quilts for relief sale, work at church community services, clean windows, educate theologians, care for children, and much more. Volunteers from this congregation repair and improve our meeting facilities, as happened yesterday with more progress in the patio. Others serve on committees or serve in the kitchen. We visit in each other's homes or take someone out for a meal. All this and more is the beloved community that the Holy Spirit is building. And we and others here find our identity, community, and purpose. Tomorrow, I expect to travel to Paraguay for several days of meetings with Mennonite World Conference Executive Committee. And from there, I will go almost a week to Argentina to participate in celebration of the 100-year anniversary of Mennonite Witness in Argentina. In both countries, I expect I'll visit congregations and pastors and do a lot of speaking in Spanish. I need your prayers and your support for a full schedule ahead. And as I work and share in building the beloved community across national and tribal borders and witness the work of others doing that, Lord, make this congregation and the global church instruments of your peace. Amen.
Would you turn in the Sing the Story, the Purple Songbook, number 15. Number 15.